I have read that the mortality rate of human beings is 100%. We will all eventually die. And that means that we only have one life to live, and we should not waste that life. God intended us to have a rich and rewarding life. He wants us to enjoy life. But so many of you struggle in life. Some of you are anger and bitter at times. You have fits of rage. Some of you live with fear and you're lonely because you're afraid to go out into the world. Some of you have waves of guilt and grief that wash over you. Some of you suffer with discouragement and depression and you withdraw from the world. It seems like you just can't get past your feelings and your emotions. They dominate your lives. Well, the good news is that God does not want you to live this way. This is not the life that He planned for you. God wants you to be happy in this life. And nor does He want you to stand by while you watch your family or friends suffer. He brought you here today to hear this message the next 7 weeks so that you can help someone get past their feelings and their emotions. There's no need to struggle yourself or to watch other people struggle. God's Word has something to say about how you feel. Oftentimes when I counsel people, when they come to me, they're already emotionally bankrupt. They're exhausted. Their emotions have filled out and infested their whole lives. You know, our feelings and our emotions are very powerful. They drive us to make rash decisions, impulsive decisions, stupid decisions, and costly decisions because they cost us our relationships. But the good news is with God's help and God's Word, we can get past our feelings and our emotions. You can help somebody get past their feelings and their emotions. So for the next 7 weeks, we're going to talk about feelings and nothing but feelings. Nothing but your feelings. And so first off, you want to pull out your sermon outline in the bulletin. Let's talk about high EQ people. EQ, emotional quotient. You know, many people have high IQs. Intelligent quotient. They're very smart. They're very intelligent. People with very high IQs get doctorate degrees and all sorts of stuff like that. But one thing I've learned is your IQ, a high IQ does not guarantee success. In fact, they say your EQ, your emotional quotient, is a stronger predictor of success. We all know smart people who came out of college with us at 4.0s, but they couldn't make it in the workplace. Because they could not adapt to working with people. They were not good at playing with others. They were not good at thinking outside of the box, and they struggled. They had a low EQ. But high EQ people are able to function in a society because they have three qualities. And the first quality is high EQ people, emotional quotient, is they are self-aware. They are self-aware. Instead of just having feelings without understanding their source, they are able to trace back their feelings and emotions back to their origins and to understand where they came from and why they feel it logically. They have a grasp of their strengths and their weaknesses. So at times of weakness, of feelings that bother them, they're able to turn them around and harness them. High EQ people also conduct self-management. They can rein themselves in. When they feel that they're getting out of control and their feelings or emotions, they are capable of bringing it back into their center. They are able to delay gratification. They can wait and be patient. They can account for the needs of others and think of others beyond themselves. They can balance their desires and impulses according to their self-control. They handle change well, and they go through and follow through with their commitments. Then the third thing we see about high emotionally quotient people is they are socially aware. That means they play well with others. I was listening to a man joke about how their Thanksgiving dinners are just full of conflict. They don't get along with their own family because when they get together, they fight. But if you manage your emotions, you won't be provoked. You play well with others. In fact, you can inspire and influence people in a positive way. You'll communicate well with others. You'll manage conflict at work, at home, or school in a positive way. People with a high EQ get along in life and they move along in life. They don't get stuck in their feelings and their emotions. Now, I've tried to increase my IQ, but I haven't been able to increase it at all. And it's hard. You know, I can't just make myself smarter and grasp things. But we can all improve our EQ. We can all learn how to manage our feelings and emotions for our blessing and benefit and for God's glory. In fact, if you manage it and you learn how to manage it, you raise your EQ, you'll be successful in every area of life, socially, emotionally, physically, financially, spiritually. And so I ask you today, how is your EQ? Do you have a high EQ or a low one? Do you play well with others, or do you only think of yourselves? Do you know people around you who are struggling and you can tell that they are not in control about how they feel? And so that's what we're going to talk about over the next 7 weeks. I've been excited to preach this series because I've worked on it for a whole year. I've never worked longer on a sermon series. And the reason why is because when I counsel people, when I talk to people, this is one of the biggest hindrances in their lives. So first, let's talk about the truth about your feelings and your emotions and some things that I come up with that I want you to understand. The first is that they come from God. They come from God. God has feelings. God feels love and joy. God feels sadness and frustration and anger. The only reason you have feelings is because God gave them to you. They are a gift from God. We were made in the image of God. The reason we will celebrate Valentine's Day in a few weeks is because God is love. That's the only reason. My ability to feel is a gift from God. My emotions are the one of the few things that make me different from the animals. If you didn't have emotions, you would just be a robot. You would not be able to create a cake. You wouldn't be able to write music or design art if you didn't have emotions. Isn't that amazing? Now, when you look in the Bible, you never see the word feelings and emotions, because I checked. It's not there. Instead, you see the words passions and desires. And so when I think of emotions or passions, I think of what we express externally. Okay, this is not an exact science. This is how I think about it. When I think of emotions, I think of passions, which the Bible uses in the Bible. It refers to our outward, oh, you're emotional, you know, or you're passionate because we see it in you. Now, when I think of feelings, I think of desires, what are internal, what we feel inside that nobody can see. So let's look at Galatians 5:22, kind of see how this works. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. The sinful nature controls our passions, desires, and causes us to sin. But in Christ Jesus, the Holy Spirit enables us to control them. Verse 25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. The Spirit here is the Holy Spirit. When we are controlled by the Holy Spirit, when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, which means be controlled by the Holy Spirit, our feelings and emotions will produce love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. If you're walking with Christ and these are the things that dominate your life, you are walking in the Spirit. You're controlled by the Spirit. However, when the sinful nature is in control, our feelings and emotions, we become conceited. We think about ourselves. We think we're better than others. We're provoking. We pick fights. We poke at people and criticize them. And then they poke back at us and we start fighting because of what they said or the way they looked at us. And then we're envying each other. We are filled with jealousy. Why do they get all this and I got nothing, God? Why don't I get more, God? When's it my turn, God? When we're filled with our sinful nature, it provokes these feelings in us. So the first truth is that they come from God. You have feelings and emotions because God gave them to you. God wants you to use them for good. The devil wants you to use them for bad. The second thing is that they are a tremendous power source. Our feelings and our emotions are a power source. You know, athletes are able to excel because of they tap into their emotions or their feelings, and it drives them to try harder. You know, I was watching a football game the other day, and how many football games have you seen where the team is behind 30 points at halftime? And then they go into the locker room, and the coach gives them this passionate speech. You know, he gives them this passionate speech, how you have to believe in yourself and believe in your team and go out and try harder. And they come out, and they turn the game. They get excited. They start being successful, and it drives them even more, and they win the game. It's because they have turned on their feelings and emotions, and it empowers them. A passionless person accomplishes nothing. You know, if you have a New Year's resolution and you are not passionate about it, you will accomplish nothing with it. Whether it's a diet or exercising or anything else, if you are a passionless person, accomplishes nothing. Passionate people get things done because they work harder, they work longer, and they work smarter. I love science fiction movies, and I was watching a movie, Independence Day Resurgence, where the aliens come back, and this time they're really mad. You know, and they know they're smarter than us because they have a higher IQ, and they start beating the poor humans. We're being defeated, and then they realize that the human beings, these stupid human beings who just fight with each other all the time and conflict, well, they realize it's a hive mentality. You know, there's a hive queen. There's a queen like a queen bee, and if we defeat the queen, we can win. And so their emotions kick in. They see a possibility. Their feelings kick in, and they try harder. They're willing to sacrifice and give for the better, and they defeat the alien. I saw it. It was in the end of the movie. They defeated the queen. You know, they captured her, and it's because us humans, our feelings and emotions are a secret weapon, and we use them to empower and bless our lives. Ephesians 3:17. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and how long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. That's the power of love. Love is a feeling, but love is also a commitment. And when we let love, God's love, flow through us, we become powerful, and we can do the impossible for God. That's why we can get up and sing on worship team or practice. Or that's why we can get up and preach or teach or share the gospel with people, because the power of God's love flows through us. Then the third thing we see about our feelings and emotions, they enable you to enjoy life. Emotions enhance our lives. They make us have fun. They make life worth living. Otherwise, you'd just be, you know, a Vulcan, you know, like Mr. Spock. And it's funny about Mr. Spock, we're without any emotions, you know, but they just suppress them, and they channel them in a different way. You know, life would be boring if I could not laugh or if I could not cry. When I take my grandkids to see my mom and dad, my parents just love watching them. It makes them laugh because they're just being little kids and they're being cute, and they love it. It adds a little joy to our lives. God gave us feelings and emotions for our blessing and our benefit. We must never look at them as a curse. Ephesians 5:18. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when you see people singing out loud, laughing and being happy, most people think what? They're drunk. You know, they're drinking alcohol. It makes them happy. And they start singing and laughing and telling jokes. Well, that's a lie, okay? Alcohol does not make you happy. This scripture is saying, no, no, no. You be filled with the Holy Spirit. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you know who you are and who God is. And you can experience God to the fullest. And you can experience each other the way God wants us to relate to each other. So you can sing and have joy and be happy. You know, one of the things I love about our Sunday morning Bible study is we're all in there studying God's Word, but we're also laughing. I mean, we're laughing our heads off because we say a funny thing, or we love each other and we tease each other a little bit, just a little bit, a lot, a little bit. And it's happy. We're here. We're studying God's Word, and we're having a great time because we are filled with the Holy Spirit. So our feelings and emotions enable us, enrich our lives. Now, it doesn't mean you won't have pain and problems. It won't mean that you don't struggle in life. But we can face life with just like Jesus. We can face our pain and problems the way Jesus did. We don't have to let our problems in life drag us into the gutter and our hearts into the gutter and act like we are angry people. We respond like Jesus. Your feelings and emotions come from God. They are a powerful source in your body. They enable you to enjoy life. That's God's plan for you. Now let's go to our third point, which says this: you alone control your emotions. I think this is probably the hardest truth that I have teaching to somebody else. You alone control your emotions. They say, no, that's not right. It's my circumstances. It's people around me that control the way I feel. You know, if I get a promotion at work, I will be happy. I'll have joy in my life. If someone, one of my friends, says something mean about me and criticizes something about me online, I will be sad. See, I have no control. It's based on circumstances and people. But the truth is, you alone control your feelings and your emotions, what you feel inside and how you express them. Satan cannot control them. He can push them and push your emotional buttons, but he cannot control them. God cannot control your feelings and emotions. He gave you control over them. You alone control them. It's a hard truth, but once you accept this truth, it's a beginning of understanding. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. We can say no. We can choose to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in this present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from the wickedness and to purify us for himself, a people that is very own, eager to do what is good. When we say no, when we are self-controlled, we can do what God wants us to do. Self-control is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Self-control means you can say no to feelings and emotions that don't belong in you. If you learn to manage your emotions, you will not let them manage you. But this world is so emotionally driven today. Every TV show I watch has emotional drama more than ever before. You know, in the old days, you watch Gunsmoke and they have a gunfight and they're done. You know, now we have to go to psychologists and counselors to get rid of those dark feelings. Feelings and emotions have no control over you. They are neutral. Your feelings and emotions are neither good or bad. It all depends on what you do with it. Just like money, right? Money, it's not good, it's not bad, but it depends on how you use it and what you do with it. Emotions fuel, if we let our emotions fuel our godly attitudes and actions, we will have love, joy, peace, patience, all those blessings. If we let our emotions fuel our sinful actions and attitudes, we will be filled with pride and greed and jealousy and fits of rage and depression. Look at this quote from, I thought I spelled his name wrong, but that's how you spell it. Jonathan. Feelings are much like waves. We can't stop them from coming, but we can choose which ones to surf. We can choose to sink into that sea of emotions, or we can rise above them, learn to harness them, and be a stronger servant of God. When you learn to master your negative emotions, when you control them, it makes you spiritually and emotionally stronger. You'll be a blessing and a benefit to the people around you. The only reason you let your negative feelings and emotions control you is because you give them control. You don't have to give them control, but you give them control. Sometimes you allow your sinful nature to take charge. Sometimes you want to live with that sinful nature. A lot of people I want to help and I want to encourage and bless, I've discovered that they don't really want to change. They want to stay in their sin. They want to stay in their darkness. They just want the pain of their feelings and emotions to disappear. But the Bible is very clear, when we choose to submit ourselves to God's will, to let the Holy Spirit control us and guide us, we can be free. We can harness and experience all the blessings that God wants to give us. And now here's another spiritual truth I want you to grasp. Every self-defeating act begins with a lie. Every self-defeating act. If you're in a situation right now where your relationships are hurting and they're broken, maybe you keep losing your temper and you drive people away, maybe you're in a dark, dark, deep depression, it all starts with a lie. And if I can get you to believe this truth, can I accept you that you have believed a lie? Man, it's the first step towards healing. The reason you feel mad, sad, or bad is because of a lie. Look at this slide. Now, this is of my own creation, so this is from my experience. And even though we have feelings and emotions and they're all different, we all have different perspectives, but they all follow the same pattern. And maybe you think of this in your own life. And so I believe something happens, an event happens. Something happens, some sort of event. Maybe you're passed on by an emotion, or someone says something. You're passed by for a promotion. Someone says something mean to you. Or maybe you were abused in your past. And so something happens. Someone sins against you. Maybe you committed a sin, or maybe this sinful world, you know, our sinful world makes us unperfect. We get cancer even though we did nothing wrong. And so something happens, then your feelings, you feel hurt. You are hurt. You know, maybe it's physical. Maybe it's emotional or mental or spiritual. And this thing happened, you didn't like it, now I'm hurting. And then at that point, usually Satan comes in and whispers a lie in your ear. And you don't even know it's Satan, because you think it just came from yourself. And Satan will say something like, it's your fault. It's your fault that you didn't get a promotion. It's your fault that that relationship fell apart. No one likes you. You failed your family. You lost your job. You failed your family. I've seen men cry when they told me that they lost their job, and that feeling, it hurt, and Satan comes in and says, you're a loser. You know, everything is your fault. You really are a loser. And if you believe that lie, if it keeps ringing in your ear and you think about it more and more, and then you have intense feelings, now you feel even worse. And man, that intense feeling confirms that this lie is really the truth. You know, the lie that I heard that it really is my fault, that I'm a loser, it is really true because it feels right. It feels right. Your pain intensifies. And because it binds you mentally and physically, now that perspective has become a hurt, a habit, or a hang-up in you that you can't let go. A hurt is something that is emotional. A habit is something that is physical. A hang-up is something that mental. And people who have been hurt 50 years ago by abuse still struggle today. And then what happens is that's your new perspective. You carry a hurt habit or hang up. And then you start acting out. You start overspending. You start drinking to cover up the pain. You start overeating. You have angry outbursts of people. You lash out at people because you're angry at yourself. You go into a deep depression that you can't shake. You push the people you love farther and farther away. Everyone says you have a problem and you need counseling, because the purpose of counseling is to help you unwrap all the layers that you see here today to discover the true feelings and the truth about why you feel the way you do. And then every so often you get this courage and you say, no, I'm tired of living this way. I want to change. I want to be better. And then Satan whispers in your head and your heart and tells you more lies, and you feel more guilt and more grief and more depression and sadness. Does that sound familiar? Does that go on in your life? The whole progression goes over and over. And sometimes you get to the end, you start all over, you jump to the middle, it starts all over. Do you see this in people you love? Do you see this in people at work? Are they embarrassed? Are they ashamed? Are they afraid to change because Satan has manipulated them to the point where they can't get past their feelings and their emotions? You know, Satan is very good at pushing your emotional buttons and manipulating your feelings because he does this to distract you and to deceive you from knowing God, from walking with God, from realizing that the solution is you just open the door to that prison that you put yourself in because the door is not locked. James 1:13, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. And so that temptation, that desire, comes from within. We're tempted by our own evil desires, not by somebody else's. You know, I'm never tempted to drink alcohol because it is not my desire. But to look at a pretty girl in a bikini, I'm tempted because that is a desire. You know, we're only tempted by our own evil desires. They're already inside of us. And Satan tempts us in a way, you know, the word he is dragged away, that refers to a trap, a hunter's trap. You know, the animal sees a piece of bait and they go, oh, it looks good, steps in it, the snare grabs their arm, and then they're dragged away. Or enticed is a fishing term, because when we use fishing lures, they don't look like bait at all. They don't look like anything, but they entice fish to bite. And once they take that bait, they are hooked and dragged away. Satan entices us. Satan baits us. And when we fall for temptation, we fall into sin. Sin reaches its point where it binds us. And Satan will manipulate your feelings and emotions and try to trick you to stay in sin. Because Satan wants to ruin your life. He doesn't want you to walk with God. So today, I encourage you to use what you're learning over the next few weeks, just little bits of it, to try to help people. And maybe you know someone who's hurting. And you know it's because they're believing a lie. You know, not everybody hates you, okay? Maybe just a few. But to say, well, everybody hates me, that's the way I feel, that's a lie, right? But I want to just encourage you to talk to somebody about this. You don't tell them, stop doing that, you're believing a lie. Because people don't like that, right? They don't like to be told what's wrong. Instead, you say to them, you know, my pastor said the other day that, you know, most self-defeating acts begins with a lie. What do you think about that? You know, do you think that fits your circumstance? I know it fits me sometimes. So you don't tell people, but you share a truth. Then you ask them, what do you think about that? Then you listen to them and you talk with them and you help them unpack their truth. Satan lies to us. Satan wants to deceive us. And then our feelings lie to us. And I struggled for a while, right before I became a pastor, full-time pastor, I struggled with my faith. And it was very embarrassing because, you know, is this even real? You know, is God real? I'm going to be a pastor. And Satan just came in, pushed my buttons, and deceived me. And I felt bad because I struggled with my faith. And then when I got time to closer and closer, I felt worse. I felt guilty about wanting to be a pastor when I wasn't even confident. But every time I thought about my faith and I'd go through why I'm a Christian and what I believe in, it was there. The truth was there. And I knew it was the truth. So I didn't go run away and go hide in a hole. I wanted to at times, because I would preach and I would feel guilty about the way I feel. But then one day I realized that all Satan was doing was conning me. He was lying to me, making me confused, and then he would use guilt and shame to embarrass me. And so I just learned that we just need to call Satan out. We just need to call Satan the liar that he is. And if I'm feeling bad, I'm going dark, I said, you know, hold on. I know the truth, and it's in God and Jesus Christ and in his word. And Satan, you are a big fat liar. You know, Satan, you are a big fat liar. I'm not going to believe your lies anymore. And I encourage you, if you feel that way, you just look at the devil and you say, liar, liar, pants on fire. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Now say it with me. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Please don't be looking at your spouse when you say that. Just a warning. But we have to say that sometimes and call Satan out for who he is. And once I did that, You know, once I realized that, and like, man, I am the biggest fool in the world, my faith grew stronger. I'm able to help people and share that story with you because I learned that the truth is the truth. Which leads us to our second point. Every spiritual victory begins with the truth. It begins with the truth. We have to take off the layers and get back to the truth. But John 8:31 says this, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth about God, the truth about God's word, why he made you, why he loved you, why Jesus died for you, why he rose from the dead. The truth is, you can be happy. You can choose to be happy. The truth is, you can break free of your hurt, habit, or hang up. The truth is that God made you and he loves you and he does not make any junk. When I was in high school was a difficult time for me because I was different from everybody else. I was like the only Chinese kid in the entire school. We're the only minorities in my grade school. There were no Hispanics or African Americans or any other minorities, just this one Chinese family, the Wongs. And it was different. And when I was in high school, some people made fun of my nose. And they said it was flat and had no bridge, which is true, but I was hurt. They made fun of my nose. They teased me. Normally, my brother has taught me, if someone makes fun of you, just punch them in the nose. But they were girls, which made it worse. They were girls. And I'm like, oh, can't punch them in the nose. You know? So I was embarrassed for a while. I was self-conscious about it. But if you know me, my feelings and emotions, they touch me. They get me. But eventually I came back and I said, no, God made me. I've always been aware that God made me. God does not make junk. In fact, this nose is Grandma Wong's nose. And Grandma Wong, my grandmother, loves me. In fact, she loves me. I was her favorite grandchild. And she carried me for 2 years after I was born because she loved me so much. And the reason why is when she finally immigrated here, you know, my brother was already, 7 years old. It's like, ooh, 7-year-old kid. But here I was this precious, the first baby, the first Wong, boy. And she loved me because she never got to hold one of her grandkids before. So she carried me for 2 years. Because she just loved me so much. In fact, I didn't walk until I was like 2. Because she wouldn't put me down. I didn't learn how. And so the truth is, God gave me this nose. And what's really amazing is today, I see this nose in my daughters. And they're beautiful. And I see this nose in my grandchildren. In fact, Jennifer sent me an ultrasound of the baby that's coming. Guess what nose she has? I showed the sonogram picture to my Pastor Michael, he goes, he looks just like you. I'm like, it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be beautiful. And then so you have to ask yourself, why did I beat myself up? Every spiritual victory begins with the truth, and only the truth can set you free. Let's look at this diagram. Look at this slide. You see this slide? It comes from the back of the Four Spiritual Laws booklet. Okay, and it talks about how Christians live by faith in God's Word. And so this is a train. The engine is called fact, or God's Word. The coal car, the fuel car, is called faith. And the caboose is the feeling. And so the lesson here is that we put our faith in God's Word. That is the engine that drives our lives. And when we put our faith in God's Word, the spiritual nature, we are empowered. We're going to go places. We're going to go the places God wants us to go. Feelings just come along for the ride. The feelings will grow and be rewarding and enriching because we are following God's Word. We're putting our faith in God's Word. We have a better life and a better future. But if you're a kind of person who runs with their feelings, I don't feel like going to church, so I'm not going. I don't feel like loving you anymore, so I'm going to leave you. If we're just by feeling, we won't go anywhere. In fact, if we empower our lives with feeling, eventually we will derail. We won't thrive. We will slowly die. We put our faith in the truth. The truth will set you free. And so do you want to change the way you feel? Do you want to change the way you express your emotions? Do you want a higher emotional quotient, a higher EQ? Claim God's promise. God wants to give you the spirit of discipline and self-control. He wants you to have a sound mind to see clearly what you see. See, when Satan manipulates us, we can't see clearly. But when we see clearly through God's eyes, we can see where God wants us to go, who God wants us to help. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. This is God's promise to you. And if you're here today and you're struggling, and even though nobody can tell you're struggling, but you're struggling or someone else is, this is God's promise. He wants to give us the power, a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. That means you don't have to be afraid of your feelings and emotions. You don't have to surrender to them anymore. God gives you the power to tell them where to go. And you tell them where to go. You grab the reins of truth and you bring those feelings and emotions under control. You tame them for God's glory and for your benefit. So brother or sister, if you're here today, maybe you want to pray this prayer. God, I want your spirit of power and love and self-discipline in my life today. That's a choice I'm making. I'm not choosing what my feelings are going to choose. I want to choose the promise of power, love, and self-discipline for a better life and for a better future. Maybe you see that you know someone at work or a family member is struggling. You know, now it's time to talk, bring this verse to them and say, you want to change your life? You want to have a better life and a better future? And you take this notes you took today, take them home and share some of the scripture. Transform their life by transforming your own life. Grab the reins of truth and take control. It starts today when you stop believing lies and believe the truth. When you realize that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins and rose from the dead to give you power. Power to enter into heaven. Power to live the life that God wants you to live. The power to be happy. And so if you're here today and you have not trusted in Christ, we encourage you to take that first step and experience Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Just you commit your life to Him. Say, Lord, I want to follow you. Your way is a better way. I believe in you. And brother or sister, if you're here today and you've been struggling or you know someone else who is struggling, is it time to take steps to change a life, to transform your life and somebody's else? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we study your word. We heard these truths. We're thinking about you right now. And I pray, Father, if there's someone here today who knows that they're stuck. They're stuck with their feelings and emotions. They pop up from time to time to embarrass them, to make them feel bad. Father, we know that you want this person to feel happy, and it begins when they commit to you that you are their Lord and Savior and God and King, and that they believe that they need you, and that they need to follow you, your word and your way. I pray, Father, there's someone here today who's struggling, that they say, Lord Jesus, I want the spirit of power, self-discipline, and love in this life of mine, so I have a better life and a better future. Father, maybe you're laying on our hearts someone at work or at school that needs help. Maybe you're encouraging us, the Spirit's guiding us to invite them to lunch or to meet and just talk about life and maybe talk about some of the things we did today. Father, I pray that you move in that person to see that you want them to serve you. Father, we just want to worship you and thank you for giving us this life. We thank you for our feelings and emotions and for the blessings they brought us. I pray that we will live the life you want us to live. So we worship you now. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing our invitation song. And if I can pray with you or encourage you and pray with you as you go through this journey in any ways, please come forward. Let's stand as we sing.